So I eliminated Spotifying with my daughter because I just couldn't stand it. And then the odd time it would happen to her where I would go out to cut the lawn, right? So I got my earbuds in and I go, what do I want to listen to? Something old. And so I plug in a playlist of mine, only it comes blaring out of her phone in her classroom.
Because we're listening, funny.
We share the Spotify, right?
Oh my god, so she that's goes, hysterical!
Dad,
amazing.
That played in my. Are we starting?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because I forget how.
Are we all having coffees? I should have filled up.
Hey, this is this is To the Underwhelming Demand, the podcast with Dave, Rachel, and Foreman. The podcast that's just like the first day of spring, you know, anticipated but usually disappointing.
Oh, I'm never disappointed when it's spring.
Well, yeah, but the first day of spring is usually...
Oh, the first official day, yeah.
Yeah, but you still you don't care. The weather can suck and you still don't care because you say, well, at least it's spring.
Yeah.
Well,
thank God.
Okay, well, you can fine-tune that any way you want. The podcast still sucks, okay? But here it is anyway. And thank you for downloading and listening. And if you know anybody, we're sponsorless this week, so if you know anybody that wants to sponsor the podcast,
mm-hmm.
you know, have them get a hold of us.
Yeah, we need like one big company, and then we don't have to ask anymore.
Yeah, that's right. What we need. That's what we need. That'd be great.
Find us that, and we'll stop asking.
Who wants to be our salesperson?
Yeah, that's right.
You can get commission.
And if you're new to the podcast, I mean, thank you. You can hear all our past sponsors and all our past episodes.
They're all there.
That's right. Yeah,
they're all there. They're all there.
And we do suggest. I mean, it's nice that maybe you found us on this episode, but we suggest going back to episode one.
Yes.
Sure.
It's helpful.
If you like, it's
very helpful. I have a question for you. Do you think you are cool?
And you're asking.
I'm the one asking. I'm just the one asking. That's right. I'm the one asking.
I don't know if I'm cool now. My kids would say I'm not. Well, my older kid would say I'm not. Uh-huh. My younger kid would tell you that I am, but she's still six. She's almost seven.
Because the younger kids think you're cool because they don't know.
She doesn't know any better.
Yeah, they're not.
Mom's still cool at this point.
Despite what you may think, I think most young kids, how old's your youngest? Six or seven?
Six. Well, almost seven.
Seven
this year.
Yeah.
They're not bright. I mean, they're not that bright. So
they don't know any better.
Yeah. So, of course, you're cool.
Yeah. To her, I'm cool. To the older one, I'm not cool.
Little brighter. Knows what's going on in the world.
I think.
A little brighter.
I think I was cool from... I never thought I was cool when I was young. But I think I was cool from like age 25 to 35, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And that was about like 10... Like a 10-year period out of my 40-year life.
Like the exact 10-year period you were working with us.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
No, we knew you pretty well in those days. And
well, you don't think I'm cool? Nobody thinks I'm cool here.
Well, no, that's not what I'm asking. Do you think you're cool? That's the question. Because somebody,
I don't know,
somebody actually polled 35,000 adults, and most of us, or these adults anyway, thought they were pretty cool. Over half said, "Yeah, I think I'm cool."
Oh, people think they're cool.
Yeah, one third said no, they're not cool, and then a small percentage said they weren't sure. So the right answer here is either B or C, but definitely not A. In other words, if you think you're cool, that doesn't count.
No.
Do you think you're cool? You could think you're cool all you want, but you don't. The only person that could, you know, who can judge whether you're cool or not, Rachel, like in that 25 to 35 age range,
was
other people.
Right.
Other people can. We're the ones that know whether somebody's cool or not.
Yeah.
We're the
other
ones
people
that
will judge you on whether you're cool.
You look at somebody and go, you know what? That dude. He's cool. He's cool. I think he's cool.
Right.
Now, cool to that you. Dude thinks he's cool.
Yeah. Okay. You think he's cool to you, but maybe I don't. But then maybe Rachel does. That question's not for. If you're asking, do you think you're cool?
Subjective.
That's not for me to answer. I don't know.
It's not subjective.
Up to you.
It's not subjective. It's up
Dave
to
says
you.
It's not up to you.
Well, no,
it's not up to you personally
to
whether you're cool.
It's up to you to decide whether something is cool, whether other people are cool. But I can't answer that.
I
can't answer that. Well, I can answer that question. I can either say, no, I'm not cool, because I don't think I am. But really, you're not sure whether you're cool or not, because you don't know whether other people and if think you are.
Yeah, if you're sure that you are cool, got bad news for you.
You aren't. Usually that's how it works,
It's usually the people who are very sure that they're cool that aren't cool.
Yes.
But sometimes people do know that they're cool. And I think maybe I felt cool because I just cared less. I'm like, I don't really care if I'm cool or not.
They just are their true, authentic self. If you go out there and you're being yourself with kindness and empathy for others, you'll be cool.
Yes. Yes, that's
so
a very
tell
a nice sentiment, though.
And we tell
people. Like yes, and on the same sentiment, if you would like to give me a list of names, I'll do a lightning round of who is and isn't cool. No problem.
Just based on the names? Or like you
speaking
names.
Of kindness and empathy.
Yeah.
So that's like what we need to tell like kids. Like if you're yourself, if you're authentic and you just be yourself, then you're cool.
Yeah, don't try to be cool. And odds are you'll have a greater chance of being cool.
Wow, this turned into such a nice lesson that I didn't expect from you guys.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not done yet.
Could take a turn right here. Yeah.
You know, because my goal is to let the air out of this anyway.
Okay.
Now right. Why would we want to go out on a high?
Right? Never.
You never want to do that.
Never.
Lesson here is always bring somebody right back down to earth.
Right. That wouldn't
maybe
be cool
couple
to go,
feet below.
Go out on a high. I believe that when you are an icon, someone who didn't try to be cool, but then they became cool in everyone's eyes.
Tell me about it.
You're someone who
tell
becomes
me about
cool.
It. You okay, become someone. Slow your roll for
yeah,
me.
You better slow
you said
that
icon, and I my ears perked up.
Right. See.
Anyway, I think once you become cool, and we all think you're cool, you won't stay cool.
Of course
once
not.
You, once you reach that level, then you will see
a sharp decline.
That's right. You will cease. Eventually, you won't be cool anymore.
No, you know what? You are so right. That happens to literally everybody.
Yes.
Once you reach mass consensus of everyone thinks you're cool, Taylor Swift right now, then you're on a sharp drop right down to the bottom again.
I think she knows that because the last time she had a big tour, she actually said afterwards, I'm just going to go away for a while. I think people have had too much of me.
They're tired
and
of
I'm
me.
Gonna, and she did. And then she came back and did this tour and is bigger than ever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mastered it.
Got it all figured
I
out
guess,
here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It
so
doesn't
she
last.
She is the master of cool.
It won't last. That's George Clooney. Now he's a dad.
Yeah,
remember when he was
he's
cool
not the
Foreman?
Cool bachelor
no.
anymore.
Now he cuts his own hair.
Yes.
Hucks tequila with, and coffee.
Hangs out with Danny DeVito. This is Due to Underwhelming Demand, the podcast. We're Dave, Rachel, and Foreman. This podcast is, like the first day of spring, usually not very warm or inviting. That makes no sense. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, but I still like the first day of spring.
I appreciate that it's here.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you find this podcast warm and inviting?
Yeah.
That's not for us to answer. We can't answer that about ourselves.
No.
Well, it's not.
Although I don't know what our aim is here some days.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's not for us to answer either.
Here we
can't answer that either.
How dare you expect us to come up with that? What's the point? Don't ask us.
Don't ask us. All right, we're about to do something. Yeah, we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's called Rachel Has COVID.
Oh.
No, that's not
I
what
hope it's, not.
What year is it?
No. That was never a game that we played, was it?
No, it wasn't.
No.
This is COVID. We'll play you three different coughs.
Name that COVID.
Name that cough.
Name that cough.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah.
We used to do this on the radio and it was called Dear Dave and Rachel, and now it's called Dear Dave, Rachel and Foreman.
You know, I saw this one on Springer the other other day.
Controversy, drama, opinions, debate.
Dear Dave and Rachel.
Dear Dave and Rachel.
It was too hard to change the name before.
That's right. Why would we change that? Yeah. It's too much work.
It was very bureaucratic there.
I would have had to come up with
that.
I would have had to have made to produce the audio of a new intro, and it was too much of a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Too much.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this here's an email that we had received, and maybe any other parents out there might have something to say about this. Dear Dave, Rachel, and Foreman, my 9-year-old son has a few friends who come over and are just plain rude. It's like they don't know how to behave at someone else's house. They come over and they're like hurricanes that roll through the house. When they leave, I find things are broken, ruined, or just taken apart and left that way. They also never clean up after their snacks, and I find things like crackers smushed into my carpet once they're gone.
Ooh,
also, nice. If I tell my kids they can't do something or there are certain restrictions for them, one kid has said to my son in front of me, "You don't need to listen to her." And another kid tries to get between my son and I when I'm giving him direction or instructions on what's allowed and what isn't.
Uh-oh.
I feel uncomfortable reprimanding other people's kids, but this is my house and they're being rude. What should I do? Should I mention their behavior to their parents, who are very nice, by the way, or just tell the kids to butt out at the time, which I have done once or twice already? What do you think?
That's an interesting one.
You have kids, you've got friends coming over, and sometimes those friends don't act like your kids act.
And you can't really say, well, no one's allowed to come over anymore, as much as you would like to, because that would end it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you don't necessarily want to do that. I mean,
you don't like in your house. Maybe like, have you said to your kid, maybe you can't play with that friend, like that friend can't come over anymore,
right.
But you can go to their house if you want.
Emily's got this one friend at school. He's never come over, but this one friend at school who every other day she's complaining about, he did this or he hurt me or he said something mean or he took something or he won't share. And every day we say to her, then stop playing with him.
Yes.
Ignore him. Stop playing with him. And then he'll go take all that out on somebody else. And then she still keeps playing with him.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different because he's not at our house and I can't say, look, you little shit.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right. But would you even, like, if there was a kid at your house acting, I mean...
It's hard to do that to somebody else's kids.
It's hard,
it's almost even harder to be able to say to that kid's parent, hey, by the way, your kid's an asshole.
Yeah. Like,
well, you know.
Even if you try and frame that as nice as possible, it's still hard to get into that conversation.
Yeah. And it's true. Because on one hand, like, sometimes the parents, as this email says, are very nice. And the kids are just behaving like kids. Like, they don't.
Yeah.
They're not developed enough yet to know. And they're all going to make mistakes and do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you're like, well, I'm not the one that needs to police this kid. You need to. So do you tell the parents? I don't know.
Well,
and how do you even bring that up if you do?
Okay, well,
right?
I don't have an easy fix for this.
No.
The person writing says, we know the parents, we like the parents, they're nice people. I mean, I think that's the avenue. That's what I think. But my first instinct would be, don't let them come over anymore. You know, like, that's what I think. Because... I feel like, you know, when your child is with kids like that, that they're going to influence your child. And that's where you have to step in and go, well, I don't want that for my kid.
Right.
I think my kids are, you know, I try to teach my kids how to behave, especially when they're at another house. When they're, you know, I have three and they're all older now. But I mean, I remember going through those exercises with the kids before they went somewhere, like, you don't do this and don't do that, and you make sure that you always say thank you, and if you're staying for supper, whatever they put in front of you, that's what you're eating. Don't complain about it.
I've said that too. I'm like,
you
go kid's
through.
Going for dinner somewhere, and I'm like, whatever they serve, you're eating. Like, you eat it.
Yeah. Harley just went for a sleepover on the weekend with her swim team. There's seven girls at one home.
Oh,
imagine being that home hosting 7, 10 to 11-year-old girls.
I've done that for a birthday party.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's too many. But it was a lot of talk in the first place about be kind, say please, say thank you, ask for, you know, eat yeah. whatever they
all
have.
All those things.
Everything.
Yes. I've had kids come over who are kind of have done like things that are rude at the house. And I've said to my kids afterwards, I'm like, you better not behave like that at someone else's
I
house.
I hope you don't.
If you're
do
doing
that,
that
yeah,
I will
exactly.
kick you into next week.
Sure.
You know? And yeah. I've also had other parents say to me, like, if my kid has said something rude or is being, there's issues on the bus sometimes with where they're going to sit. And if there's a, and then I've had parents come to me and say, this happened. I just wanted to let you know. And I'm like, oh, okay, I will take care of that.
I'll
you don't worry.
That. Sure.
Because I don't want my kid being like that,
no,
right?
You don't want your
but
kid
they don't
to be.
Know until you, until you tell them and correct their behavior.
And
they're
that's why I believe that the favor that you could do, if I was this person, if you feel, you know, you have to have the gumption to take this on, and that is go to the parents and say, hey, they come over and they're doing like, you know, it's, you know, and I feel like you guys, if yeah. you guys don't know, you need to know this.
And it's harder if this situation is happening and the bad kids' parents are at this person's house too, then you, like, you kind of have to defer to their own parents because they're there. They right. should be the ones policing their own kids. But if they're yeah. the bad children's parents aren't present, then you might as well go to town and get them in trouble.
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point, I think you have
the to
only be
adult.
Like, hey, guys, that's not allowed. Like, yeah. you're the one in charge. This is your house. You know, you have to tell them, like, this is not, you
yeah.
know, correct
no,
the kids.
You do.
Just like they would be corrected by teachers at school, maybe, yeah. right? So,
well,
takes a village, I guess.
You, Rachel, you've always, and I admire this because I'm not really a confrontational person, but you usually, if something is troubling you or whatever, you would confront it. You would go and say,
yes,
hey.
I do.
So in,
I would much
you,
rather address it and move on. And I forgive and forget really easily. Like I kind of address things
right.
with anybody, family, friends, whatever, and move on, you know?
Right.
Or if I feel uncomfortable, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did this. Did that upset you? Sorry if that offended you. And most of the time people are like, oh my God, I didn't even notice or right. whatever. And it's fine. And then you move on. And I feel like the elephant in the room is gone, right?
So then in this case, you would probably speak to the parents then.
Yeah, if it was something bigger than that, bigger than, hey, we don't do that at this house, then yeah, right. I guess you have to tell the parents.
Yeah, you try and correct the kids while they're there in your care, and you're the only adult, so you might as well try. And then mm-hmm. if they don't listen, then you have to kind of suck it up and tell their parents. By the yeah. way, I even tried to tell them not to do whatever it was, and they still did it. So
yeah.
please right. fix.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Please fix or,
and then if you find out their yeah. parents don't really care, and that's yeah. where they're getting it from. And then it all starts to make sense
then
in that family.
Then maybe that's when you say, these kids can't come over anymore.
Yeah, not
yeah,
anymore.
Sorry, that's my right. kids. You're not yeah. playing with them at our house anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
Anyway. That's what I believe that's the steps that have you start by saying, hey, guys, don't do that around here. And then if it still gets a little out of control, then you do confront them.
Yeah.
You know, whoever wrote this said they're nice people. Well, if they're nice people, they'll understand.
Then they'll take care of it.
But
yeah.
somehow they haven't taught their kids when you go somewhere else, you behave yourself, right? They haven't
yeah.
been taught that. So
do these kids, are these problem children, do they play any sports? Let's say hockey, for instance. And do they travel anywhere? And when they go to hotels, what are those kids? How do those kids yeah. behave at hotels?
All right. We already did that one, Foreman. We already did that. Yeah, we did that.
All right.
One.
If you if you have any thoughts on that, you can let us know. You can email, DM us. Our email is DaveRachelForeman@gmail.com.
Or any other dilemma going on in your life, personal life,
yeah,
dating, relationships,
Dave,
children,
Rachel,
whatever.
We are here to weigh in. This is Due to Underwhelming Demand, the podcast that's very much like how you feel when you get up in the morning. A little dopey.
Yeah.
Am I right?
It's yes. how you feel before that first coffee.
Maybe a lot dopey then.
Yeah.
A lot dopey. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt trying my hand.
Well done.
Thank you.
What a segue.
I was just going to say that. Well done.
Excellent.
You've learned from the master.
Well taught.
I have not.
Trying my hand at synchronized swimming.
Oh, pardon me? That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Record scratch. What?
Hello.
This guy is synchronized swimming?
Wow. I know that your daughter synchronized swims. Yes. Synchronized.
She's an artistic swimmer.
Artistic swimmer.
The whole name of the sport has actually changed. It's artistic swimming now.
Oh, okay. So they don't have to be synchronized?
Well, that's part of it.
Yes. Oh, I see. Okay.
It is.
But
done.
It's a show.
Yeah,
it's a show.
Really,
in the water.
You know, the World Aquatics Championships were just on, and there's so many different types now. It's like figure skating where you can do it. You could do a pairs. You can do ice dancing.
Okay.
All those different styles they'll do different performances of in artistic swimming. So,
okay.
Harley is mainly doing one group performance. There's seven of them, and they're age 11 to 12. They compete against all the other teams in Ontario.
Right.
And so in Florida, we stayed at a home that had its own pool.
Oh, boy.
And so we thought, we've got a whole week of having a pool in Florida. Harley, this is your chance to teach mom and dad how to synchronize swim with you.
I love where this is going.
Oh, do I ever like where this
is
going.
Yes, okay.
All right.
Harley does this how many times a week?
All I see is that old bit from Saturday Night Live with Martin Short. Wasn't it Martin Short and somebody else where they were doing it in the pool?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So funny. That's hysterically funny.
She does it three times a week at the aquatic center for 3 hours at a time.
Yeah,
hours a week.
And so
Times a week. Okay,
and
sorry.
She's pretty good at it, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're doing quite well. They actually even just had a visit from one of the national team coaches.
Oh, wow.
At her last practice.
Oh, wow,
yeah, I know. They're really working hard.
Okay. So what did she teach you in Florida?
Yes.
Did you guys do a family routine?
It was mom and dad, so Ashley and I in the pool with Harley.
Yeah.
Right.
Emily always is trying. She keeps saying that she doesn't want to start doing it as swimming lessons, but every time she does swim, she's always flipping around and doing somersaults and trying to stick her legs straight out of the water.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, every kid does that.
She's always doing it.
Her
she's
big
only
sister
six,
does
so.
It. Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly. So Ashlyn and I thought, how hard can it be? Get some goggles, get a nose plug.
How hard could it be?
You definitely need the nose plug.
That's your first... See, that statement
how
is...
How hard could it be, Foreman?
That usually is how somebody begins their story about their broken leg. I thought to myself, how hard
in the water.
Yeah,
so
how
this is
hard
not a...
could it be to jump out of
just
an airplane?
Just picture one position of you got your water line and you stick your legs out of the water straight up and stay there for at least a couple seconds. Just have your legs straight up out of the water. Your legs
thanks.
Are together.
Not doing it.
It's impossible. Because you're trying to stick that, like you're trying to make them stick out so far that it's almost the waterline's almost at your waist.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
No, okay. You've got to flutter a lot underwater there.
I can barely do it with my hands on the bottom of the pool as a handstand. Trying to swim and float your way through that—it's impossible.
We
got so Harley was in tears. I was trying to console
in
her
in tears
because she kept trying to say, "Well, just do this. This is the easiest thing you could do. Just do this." And I couldn't. I couldn't do any of it.
She's in tears because you can't do it?
And I wasn't listening and I wasn't doing it. And she's trying to show me, do this. Why aren't you doing this? And I'm trying to say, I can't. This is me trying. I can't do it.
Does anyone have a video of this? Because I need to see this in real time.
Please unfortunately, I don't think so.
Please tell me there was a security camera at this home that you stayed in.
Oh, my God. Can you contact them and ask?
Yes. Give us the address.
Please.
We are calling.
My problem is I couldn't get anything to stick up out of the water, and Ashley trying and had the same amount of luck.
Wait a second. You couldn't get anything to stick up out of the water for me. My goodness. That's so sad.
Imagine my plight.
Oh, boy. Your
but then Ashley's problem is she couldn't sink any of her body down deep enough to be able to race.
She
stayed
up.
Floating. She couldn't maneuver her body in any other way.
Oh, my.
It does take a lot of skill. And strength.
Of course it does.
It's like gymnastics, but in the water, it's probably harder.
So this has turned into a full family blowout in the pool.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm trying to tell Harley, I'm trying to make an analogy. I'm trying to do a metaphor for her. And I said, And before you guys jump on me for this,
okay,
hear me out for a second.
Will,
I tried to
fine.
Explain her that I'm kind of like a bear in a china shop.
Uh-huh.
I'm too big for this, right? I'm like this bear that walks into a store and I smash everything.
Like a teeny tiny store.
Exactly. Right. I can't do anything. I'm trying, and despite of how much I'm trying, it gets even worse the harder I try.
So,
and I give her this 5-minute bit about being a bear in a china shop.
Right.
And then Ashley pipes up and she says, "Do you mean a bull?"
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, it is a bull.
It's a bull.
It is a bull in a china shop. No, it's
did that make the fight
worse? It didn't
work.
Make anything better.
I'm trying to figure out.
Didn't make
though,
anything better.
I'm trying to. Here's what I'd like to go back to. So Harley starts crying.
Yes.
Like literally, she's upset.
That you can't do this.
Yes. You can't do it. Is it because you can't do it, or is it because she all of a sudden realized, oh my God, he's my father?
Probably mostly that.
Oh my God.
I can't take him anywhere.
This guy's my
God.
My dad.
Stuck with him forever.
Yeah.
What a loser.
Can't even do synchronized swimming.
This is Due to Underwhelming Demand, the podcast. We are Dave, Rachel, and Foreman. This is, we're coming to the end of this episode. This is where we normally get your feedback, read some of your emails, your comments, suggestions, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect time to once again say, we're looking for sponsors. Sponsor us.
We just need one big company.
Boy, do we ever.
And we'll just stop talking about it.
That's
you know
right.
What I would appreciate? A better video editor that can take more than 4 tracks at a time.
True.
That's what I would like.
Okay.
If you would like to help us pay for one of those.
Yes. DaveRachelForeman@gmail.com. That's how to get a hold of us, or through any of our social medias.
Yeah.
We're everywhere. You can also buy us a coffee, and somebody has.
Yes, Jody Dennison bought us 5 coffees. Thank you very much, Jody. And she says, I know you don't know, but I know what you guys do for me every time I listen.
Oh.
Life is chaotic and crazy, and you put a sense of it's okay or everything will be all right into my day.
Really?
Yeah, that's so nice. Thank you for the laughs and banter over the years. I was lost without you all, so I'm incredibly thankful for the podcast. I love you guys. Keep up the great work.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. That's so nice.
That's really nice.
If you want to buy a coffee for us, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/underwhelming. That's our page there.
Shout out, by the way, to a woman named Stacy, who works at the Southwest Center for Forensic Mental Health Care.
Ooh.
Who
wow.
I went along
important.
With Ashley. I know.
Very important. Yeah.
We encountered her on a walk the other day.
Okay.
Where she was out walking the neighborhood at lunchtime, and we just happened to come across her, and we're walking down Karen Street as we approach Marlene Street.
The names.
So Ashley and I are walking in there for the first time ever. We just thought, we've never been in this neighborhood. What's down here? And as we approach way down the street, we see Stacy with her phone in her hand, and she starts yelling at us, saying, I'm listening to your podcast right now.
Really?
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
And I'm wearing sunglasses, a hat. I've got a raggedy old shirt. It's covered in cock.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
What were you doing that day?
I was cocky.
Cocking, Rachel.
Yeah,
what did
sure.
you think he
I
was doing?
I just wondered, yeah.
Okay.
Just
so, you know, shout out Stacy for listening and recognizing me in that situation.
Wow.
And
yes.
we had a very lovely chat. So thank you. I felt very special.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as long as she liked the podcast she was listening to, then that's great.
Yes, she did.
How funny to her that she's listening to you and you show up. You just appear.
Yes. Right?
That's hilarious.
That's the kind of service we provide.
That's right.
Thank you to everyone who enjoys how irritated I get over certain topics as well.
Yep.
Like?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like Heather Christine says, love today's episode. Foreman getting worked up is my favorite. When Dave says, let him go, Rach, he's starting to get a little squeaky.
Yeah. I know, right?
And Angela says, I have to say, although you could hear in his voice how irritated he was, Foreman looked fairly calm when he was talking about the hotel stuff.
He looks calm, but yeah, the squeaker, the higher his voice, the more agitated he is.
That's how you can tell.
That's how we know.
You can tell.
And I'm not calm.
When it goes higher, we're like, okay.
No,
because
Janice,
calm with the hockey thing.
Janice sent us another message that says, Foreman, I stopped at Boston Pizza on Wellington to get my takeout. As I was leaving, there was a huge group of people walking south. Lots of parents and kids thought of your rant and had to laugh.
Yeah. I know a lot of parents who've gone away for hockey tournaments recently, and it's fun for them. Mm-hmm. Just know that it's not fun for anyone else staying at the hotel. I know you probably don't care, but it's not fun for people like Foreman, who are also
there. Well, here's an email from Lori Reed, who says, we were staying in Windsor for my son's hockey tournament. Mm-hmm. We flipped the little deadlock on the door so the kids could be in one room and the parents in the other, and we could go back and forth.
That's
so they
smart.
Weren't,
That's
they weren't running smart. In the halls or being loud. They were gaming and watching movies.
Perfect.
Well, a security guard came and told us we had to lock the doors. A dad on our team, who was a London firefighter, asked why, and the security guard said it was a fire hazard.
Really? Oh.
So the London firefighter dad got into it with the security guard, and the security guard ended up kicking them out.
Oh, this gets this
you
is
get
getting
kicked
good.
Out of a hotel.
Uh-huh. This is getting
at
good.
Night.
My husband, ex-military, went toe to toe with the guard.
Well,
after
here
the
we
guard,
go. Here we go.
After the guard went and called the police, who showed up in riot gear, thinking it was a men's hockey brawl, not kids.
Oh boy.
The police took a strip off the guard for wasting their time. So an embarrassed guard came and told us it would be wise for us to leave. So my husband, who wasn't in any condition to drive, and I had to stop drinking when shit started hitting the fan, so I drove the 2 hours home from Windsor at 2 a.m. from a Hockeyville mom and grandma, Lori.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
What a mess.
There's a lot of power trips in that story.
Oh boy.
Guard versus firefighter versus military versus police.
Ex-military going toe-to-toe. I like that.
Oh my.
Jeez, that's a lot. Okay, that's really too bad.
Yes, it is.
Gosh. All right.
Really too bad.
It is too bad, yeah.
Yes.
We had a couple of just comments on our social medias, and we're on YouTube, by the way. If you're listening to us, you can actually watch us on YouTube.
Yeah,
and Pat says, if you can watch this on YouTube, do it. It's a game changer, Pat says. Thank you, Pat.
Really?
Thank you, Pat.
Yeah,
why is it
I guess
a game
so.
Changer? A friend of mine who watches us on YouTube keeps telling me to change my hats because we do a couple shows. Sometimes we'll do two shows at once, right?
Yeah,
that's
we have
true.
To when people are, you know, when Foreman goes away. We
and you're
do
in
a
the
couple,
same outfit.
And he's like, you may want to change your hat.
Yeah.
And I told him, you may want to stop watching.
Oh my gosh, okay.
This isn't men's clothing. It's brought to you by Jack Victor.
That's right.
But it could be. Erica says, holy shite, guys, I love you. So thank you very much, Erica.
Mm.
And I have another one from Michelle who says, I love Tuesday mornings. I'm so excited to hear what's happening with everyone. When you talk about your lives, I can relate so much as I'm the same age and have two kids, 11 and 7. It's nice to know I'm not alone out there. From Michelle. You're never alone, Michelle. We're here with you
not.
For sure. Yeah.
Not.
Thank
well,
you.
In the words of Rachel, that's really too bad.
That's really too bad.
Just really.
Sometimes that's all you can say.
It's really too bad. All right, here you go. Name this bird.
Ooh, ooh.